Hello, everybody. Welcome to RPG Cast, episode 803 for the week of March 15th, 2026. Sorry, we're day late, dollar short. I was ill yesterday. I'm still ill, but we're going to get a show out there, but I had to call in some special help. Like Kelly Ryan, who's never been here before, right?
Yeah. I'm special.
Yeah.
No, I'm always here. I'm always the first one with the call out. It's like, I'll be here. Because I have no life, but that's okay. I like RPGs.
And also joining me, my husband, Andy Privateer.
Hello. I wanted to make sure that you were hosting today because I look forward to mangling the next name.
I didn't write it down anywhere. Hair Frog is joining us. Hi!
No, I was so looking forward for you to
All right,
just
it's
say
Eric
my name.
Eric Van Asselt.
Oh, geez. Almost.
Eric Von Asselt.
Mr. Von Asselt. That's me. That's me. Shall I pronounce it as Dutch as possible?
Absolutely.
Eric Von Asselt.
Oh, I was closer than I thought. All right.
Yeah, it's not Asselt, but I've heard it before.
It's close enough. Also known as Hair Frog, a.k.a. That's the me. Dude who plays all the bad games on our channel.
That's true.
Thank you all for joining us. It's Sunday instead of Saturday, so like, it's weird.
Sunday.
People are probably just getting out of church and filling up all the buffets. I'll never forget one Sunday. Vaughn and I were just kind of out and about, and we just picked a pizza place at random to go eat at, and we're there, and we're like, God, why is everybody so well-dressed? Wait, what day is it again? Oh, it's Sunday. Everybody probably just got out of church. I don't know if anybody else has had similar experiences.
Sorry, I ran out of energy already.
I can tell.
We just started. Man, this time slot is usually time slot. Is this my Sunday Jank Fest? Mm-hmm. Then I play jank games.
Well, now we get to make a jank podcast.
Jank podcast. Here I am. Let's jank it, baby.
Okay.
What kind of jank have you been playing recently?
Ah, okay. Yeah, I wrote it down because I've been streaming Dark Messiah of Might and Magic.
Why?
It's actually a really funny game.
Oh, right. Because I told him to.
Yeah, I'm so on the Discord, I asked everybody, I have a few games in my library that I can stream, and I like to play jank games. And there were quite a few people who were like, try Dark Messiah of Might and Magic. I have never played any of the Might and Magic games, so I have absolutely no... I've seen Spellbrace playing them on our stream, but those are the dungeon crawlers. Man, this game is so nice and janky. And the moment that I realized that it was really janky was the moment that I realized that you could hurt the enemies even in cutscenes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there's a moment in the game quite early on where the whole gameplay stops and a few orcs come in through a room, and one of the orcs says, well, it's time to fight together. I want to see if you're strong enough. No magic, just me and you. And I've been playing with a bow constantly. So I was trying to figure out, okay, how can I make this a fair fight for me? Because I'm not very good at fist fights. I found that if I used a few spells like traps in at the entrance of the room, I could make an immolation trap so that during the cutscene, every orc needs to go through that room, through that trap, and they're all just burning while I'm in the cutscene. So what happened? The orc came in, started to burn, did his whole dialogue about, man, we have to fight because orcs. And after that, he just fell down because he was burned to a crisp. And I was like, this is amazing jank. And I've been trying to figure out. So every stream has been me trying to figure out how can I break the game a little bit more. But that's the thing I really enjoy about playing those gen games. And what else have I been playing? It's less janky, but still, I've been playing Pokemon Colosseum. I finished Pokemon Colosseum.
That was the GameCube game, right?
Yeah, the GameCube one, the first one. Because during the Pokemon stream that I did a few weeks ago, they said, well, Pokemon XD, what was it, Gale of Darkness? Yeah, Gale of Darkness is coming to NSO quite soon. I was like, oh, wait, I haven't played the other one yet, so I tried to play that one. Yeah, that was a strange experience. I liked it, but it was a strange experience.
Going against what you've learned about Pokemon for decades, which is you don't steal other people's Pokemon, but in that one you do.
Absolutely, and also you start, it feels like you start in the middle of the game because all the Pokemon you encounter start at level 30.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, you also have a very limited move pool of, and also all the battles are 2-on-2 battles. So all double battles. And it's also strange things you normally never do in a Pokemon game. You start to use again, like, oh, wait, if I do Rain Dance with the first one, that's a little bit faster than the other one. And then the other one can just go and use Thunder for every single round because when it's raining, Thunder has a 100% chance of just hitting instead of 75%, I believe. Those kind of things come into play again. And then that was fun. But there were way too many Pokemon who knew Fly and Dig. And I really hated that.
Yep, those moves are annoying.
Yeah. But what I did like is quite early on, they already give you options to catch the legendary dogs. So my party was full of the legendary dogs.
Which ones are the legendary dogs?
Come on, Johto.
Raikou, and
Suicune.
Oh, yeah. Those. The dogs that fly. Got it.
Yeah.
The legendary dogs.
Mm-hmm. The ones that they're a bitch to catch because they run away.
Those, yeah. So that's what I've been playing. I don't play new games. People who watch my stream regularly know I don't play new games. So I did see something else on the list that I'm very interested in knowing a little bit more about. So hopefully we'll get through that soon.
I always was kind of disappointed that Nintendo or Game Freak never went back to that Colosseum well of... stealing and purifying Pokemon, except in Go.
Yeah, it's in Go. Yeah, so all the Pokemon you get from Team Rocket in Pokemon Go are all Shadow Pokemon.
Yeah, because I love that part of that game. I mean, obviously it was annoying if you accidentally knocked one out, but that's why you gotta save before every trainer fight in that game. But I feel like you got a better variety of Pokemon in that game because of it.
Yeah, and you also use Pokemon that you never use because you have such a limited amount of... normally, I don't use legendaries, but then I was like, well, if the game just gives me these, I will just use them.
Yep.
So, and I also had a Noctowl in my party, which I... Out of all the birds, I don't really use Noctowl. And man, what was another one that was? Oh, what's the evolution of Swablu, the dragon bird cloud thingy?
Oh, Altera. Altera.
Yeah, it was also in my party, and I was like, that was also the first time that I had that one in my party, and it's fun.
Good. I think you'll enjoy Gale of Darkness when it comes out.
Is it better than that one?
Yeah. I mean the protagonist you play as isn't nearly as cool because it's just a kid and not like a outlaw. But
play as the outlaw, and you have a very crazy motorcycle.
Yeah.
And every time when you go from one area to another area, you see the cutscene of him on the motorcycle.
I see.
And you're like, oh, I'm so cool with my motorcycle.
Mm-hmm. And you get you start out with an Espeon and Umbreon.
Yes. Perfect. Espeon is one of my favorite evolutions, so I was already happy.
Mine too. The kid isn't nearly as cool, and he has a very annoying little sister, but that game is still fun, and you get a Shadow Lugia.
Oh, I do want to see if they have changed a few things. So one of the things that I found annoying during Colosseum is, for me, the battle system was always 1 second too slow because it's just, for me, it was like, okay, if you just did it a little bit quicker every single time. So I don't know if they're using the exact same engine or if they tweaked anything during the with that game. We'll see. I've never played the Gale of Darkness, so we'll see.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute since I played that game. Gosh, I was in college when that game came out.
Yeah, and also it was the first time that you had a 3D adventure. You had, of course, you had Colosseum, or you had the Stadium 1 and 2, but it was the first time you had a 3D adventure on the GameCube.
Yeah, those games were awesome.
What did
And
you think
that's
of those,
it.
Andy? Did you play those?
I did. Pokemon XD is like one of my favorite games. So I was so excited that we managed to fundraise enough during Extra Life that Leo Grimm has been playing it because I've been really enjoying watching him go through it. And it's very similar to Colosseum's storyline where like all the battles are 2-on-2. You're really encouraged to use Pokemon that would be sort of outside of the meta because you start with an Espeon and an Umbreon. And yeah, it's just really cool because it's an opportunity for you to find love in Pokemon that don't see a lot of love otherwise because they aren't the cool, popular ones.
And back in the day, that was one of the only ways to get some of the Johto legendaries, like the dogs or
I believe also Celebi. You can also get Celebi if you purified all the shadow Pokemon.
Well, and I feel like there is a little bit of revisionist history where now all of the evolutions are super popular. But there was definitely a point where people were just sort of like kind of meh on them as like a Pokemon. In terms of like everybody liked the design and they were really cute and there was fan art of them, but can you think of anybody that used any of the original three evolutions in like a real party?
Well, I want to say it wasn't until X and Y that you were able to easily get an Eevee in any of the games. Because
That's a good point.
in the original duology, there was only one Eevee. And I can't remember what the status of Eevee was in some of the later games, but I know in X and Y you could just go out and catch one.
Yeah, that's a good point, and I hadn't really considered that until now. But yeah, it was
And
like
also,
people were just meh on Espeon and Umbreon, so to see them being like the main characters in a game was so novel.
I
Yeah,
was
and the if you look at Gen 1, Flareon, Vaporeon, and Jolteon, Flareon was never good because stat-wise was not great, but also move pool was very lackluster. Jolteon had some good moves, but as in most cases in Gen 1, the water option is usually the best option because the Vaporeon one had good stats, had a decent move pool, also getting a lot of TMs quite early. Like you get Bubble Beam quite early from Misty, so that's a very easy one to just pop on, and you have a stab move. All those things were just quite easy for a Vaporeon. So Vaporeon was usually the one that's most popular, but also Jolteon was, of course, the spikiest and the coolest. It looked like a Super Saiyan, and Flareon always was the butt of the joke.
you know that Eevee was originally going to be the mascot of the series.
No, I didn't.
And then I think one of the programmers' wives thought that Pikachu was cute. So they changed it to Pikachu.
Why did that wife have so much influence over
I
the
that you know, you can fact check me on this. That's just what I've heard through the grapevine of, the many rumors and stuff. But that would explain why Eevee was the mascot in Let's Go Eevee.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it would have been weird to have it be Snorlax in a game called Let's Go Eevee.
Yeah.
Though, it probably still would have been good. Why can't Snorlax be the mascot?
He should be.
Like, everyone's spirit animal.
What, scary when standing up?
And now it's going back to sleep. They did such a good job with that for many, many years. I applaud that. What else? I can talk about what I played if people care.
Sure.
I've just been playing more Project Gorgon. I'm getting into the late mid game now where I have to do the real grinds to get into end game. This is a very grindy MMO. And it also has a bazillion skills and a bazillion things to do. So I'm in peak like distraction mode in this MMO. So it's like, what do I want to do today? And what I will end up doing has no bearing with anything I was thinking about earlier in the day, because you start like, okay, I think I'll go do this. Oh, wait, that's happening. Oh, wait, I should go turn this in. Oh, wait, I just got this. I should go look at it. Oh, wait. And then before you know it, you're growing 1,000 cotton in a corner of the garden in the casino. And it's like, that's not what I thought I was going to do today. And you are. And yeah, it's a wild game. It's got legs. And I'm still a werecow. So werewolf / cow. spending my time between the two forms. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. But is it fun? Because I have downloaded the demo. I haven't touched it. Yeah, well, for 8 minutes to see if it runs, but that's it. But is it fun?
I mean, if you like addictive grind games, yeah.
Come on, we've played Final Fantasy 11 together, of course.
Yeah, I love it. But okay. It's an old school MMO, so don't expect any of the friendly assistances you get in like a WoW. Though it's not quite as bad as an EverQuest, I guess. What else to put? The guild I'm in is all like, well, it's mostly werewolves. So like we just hang around the fountain in the town and howl, because that's a skill, of course, that you can level. And then people yell at us to stop howling and we tell them to go away. Or to join us. Sometimes we convert them into wolves. It's great.
The howl actually makes an in-game noise that annoys other players.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like the trains in WoW.
Uh-huh.
That's amazing.
I think you can turn it off. But like, yeah, by default, people are like, oh my God, go somewhere else. It's like, no, you go somewhere else. We're howling right now. It gives us a buff. So it's like, yeah.
They're going to start a howl.
Yep. It happens. Joke. Yep. if you're watching on stream, you'll see in about 20 minutes here, I'm going to be going into a room with actually, here's the room. It will be much fuller of people than this, and it's time for the weekly poetry jam. And that sounds crazy. It's like, what do you mean? You guys get together and read poetry? That sounds so lame and boring. And it's like, I thought, like, yeah, this is gonna be weird. Then I realized what it actually is. It's like a half hour of people applying all the best group buffs they possibly can, and then you go out and play the rest of the game all buffed up for the rest of the day, because the last around 6 hours. And there's that people put beer out, so everyone's getting drunk to the point where if you get over intoxicated, you can die in this game. So you'll just watch people walk around and just fall over dead and have to run back into the room from the respawn point. It's great. The poetry jams are a whole thing, and I love it every week. And then it's real fun when 3 hours later people log in and say, did I miss poetry jam? It's like, yes, you missed poetry jam.
Oh, that sounds you're amazing.
A little too hungover, I think. yeah, this is great. And I'm enjoying it. So I'll leave it at that, I guess. Next, Kelly, you want to go so Andy can finish stuffing food in his face?
I finished Mugenix.
I didn't know that game could be finished.
No, it has an end state. There's a couple of false endings, but there's also a true ending. Can I spoil a boss?
I don't mind, but, you know, spoiler warning. Spoiler warning. Skip forward a couple minutes.
It honestly cracked me up. So The last act involves time travel because you had summoned a demon and messed up a whole bunch of things, and the professor tells you to go into his lab, and you try to go into the past, and that doesn't fix anything, so you go into the future. And one of the first future that you go into is a far off future run by Hitler. And the final boss of that area is a robotic Hitler that has a bunch of Hitler fetuses around the arena that he yells at them, and they grow into like little Hitler clones, and you have to take out the Hitler clones and get them down to a certain amount of health, and if you do, the robot Hitler goes and basically caps them with his gun. And then when you get the robot Hitler down to like 50 health, he shoots himself, and you have to basically get, you have like one round to get the headless robot Hitler off the map, or else he'll explode and do a ton of damage and probably take out your whole party. And the whole fight is just so freaking funny. And then you have these bosses that, after you clear certain areas, they come and they attack your base. And in the time travel areas, you have to, I'm actually spoiling a bunch of bosses, but like one of them, the first one that spawns is a reference to the Terminator. It's the T-800. And then the second boss that spawns is a reference to the T-1000, the liquid metal Terminator. So, it gets you in this thing like, okay, well, what Terminator reference is the third boss going to be? Well, it's Hitler's head in a jar for a rematch, and you had to get that fight sucked because he summons robotic versions of every class, cat class in the game. And there's, I want to say there's like 12 of them, and you have to fight them in a gauntlet before you take on the Hitler's head in a jar on a robot. This is different from the robot Hitler in the future, mind you. This is like Futurama, his head's on a little UFO with like robot arms. And when you get that one down to a certain amount of health, the jar breaks and you have to fight his head. And you keep killing the head and the head won't die. And I didn't count how many times it took to get the head down, but eventually you get Hitler's head into a puddle of goo with a little pencil mustache that's speaking German. And I was laughing so hard at this fight because of how over the top ridiculous it was. And I feel like the game wanted to make it clear that they are not a fan of the Fuhrer, and I can understand that given the name of the game. And that wasn't even the final boss. I don't want to spoil the final boss.
Okay, then don't.
I'm not going to. I'm just going to say that, it mimics a lot of traditional strategy RPGs and what a final boss tends to be in a strategy RPG, if you know what I'm getting at. But I eventually hit the point where I was breeding perfect cats that their stats were all sevens. I was getting a lot of interesting mutations, like cats with spring legs that whose basic move was jump instead of move. Because I'd set up a mutation room where I just had all the cats with birth defects go in there, and they would evolve like different abilities. Like super eyes that could see hidden objects, and like I said, the spring legs, like a bow for a tail that gave them a plus one to range stuff. It was all kind of interesting little status effects. But my final team was basically a whole team of seven out of seven statted cats. that went in for a fight. And the classes I ultimately landed on was tank, cleric, hunter, and druid. Because druids, depending on their passives, got an ability that I could basically just spam cast buffs until they ran out of mana. And that was pretty much what was keeping me alive throughout the post game. And yeah, the final gauntlet gets a little bit repetitive because you have to go basically like redo every area in the game to build this MacGuffin that you take into the final area. So it was kind of frustrating at how repetitive the end got. It was also kind of fun taking my OP teams back to some of these earlier areas in the game and just dominating them. And 11 out of 10 game, would recommend.
Okay.
Even though I heard that you guys had like some eugenics cultist in the Discord that was being really annoying.
Eugenics cultist sounds like something that could be in the game.
I think Tam was telling me about it on the backtrack night. It's like, have you guys heard of this game, Eugenics? It's really fun. It wouldn't shut up about it, and I assure you that was not me.
I don't believe you.
I believe it was the same person that said the Zelda games were underrated. at that point, I was like, yeah. Okay,
underrated. Cool.
Underrated, absolutely.
Who? So, what?
Yeah, this is how the RP Gamer staff got introduced to the concept of sea lioning.
Sea lioning. Okay,
I don't know that one.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to know.
It's making very stupid arguments with the goal to exhaust your opponent.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes it's called baiting. Jacking off, JAQ, just asking questions.
So
underrated.
So don't people here think that Zelda's really underrated?
Like,
can I just ban you from the Discord instead of having this conversation? Like, it's the 18th time you've asked a really obnoxious question like this, and I just don't think you're ever going to fit in, so goodbye. But yes, he was very obsessed with...
Or they did read the room and chose violence.
Yes, yeah, the second one, for okay. sure. Yeah. But yes, they were also very much, why does this site hate eugenics? And it's like, no one on this site hates eugenics. There's like a bunch of people playing eugenics. There is almost no one on the Discord who wants to talk about eugenics with you, dude, because you're really annoying.
Well, yeah, you know, they could be 12. You don't know.
I mean, I understand why a good chunk of the staff didn't want to touch the game, because it is very crass humor and very gross humor. And I know that Tam was one of the victims of this guy, and he was like, I thought you like strategy RPGs. He's like, I do, just not that particular one, because I don't like how gross it is. But me and Dalandar have been playing it. I don't hang out in the general of the Discord, and it's nothing personal. I just have a hard time keeping up with the Discord, because that's just how I am. Otherwise, I would have happily talked this game with this guy, but it's not going to be a game for everybody.
But dear listeners, our Discord is actually quite a nice place. Don't worry. We will.
Yeah. No, we're very nice. It's just
very nice.
But very nice. We threw that guy out. That's how nice we are.
Yeah. If you tell Zelda's underrated, or as Kale said in chat, Kingdom Hearts is super underrated. Things might happen. Very underrated things.
But yeah, so I finished. Then part of the reason why I wanted to get Critical Path on that is because I knew that Pocopia was going to take over my life, and I needed to finish the game that was taking over my life.
How is that game? Because I've been looking at that game, and I know it's by the same team that did Dragon Quest Builders 1 and 2, and my son has played over 1,000 hours of Dragon Quest Builders 2. So I'm afraid it's like buying drugs for my son. I'm not going to do it, but I'm afraid at one point it will happen, that he will just sneak it inside and I have to go into his room, look on his bed, and there it is.
That's not Pokemon mine. Game. I'm holding it for someone.
For friends. How is that game? Because it looks very cozy.
Well, I'll put it this way. Physical copies are sold out everywhere.
Ah, yes.
Rightfully so. This was actually one of the ones that I bought digitally, mostly because I wanted to be able to just boot it up whenever I wanted to. And yeah, it's very fun. You're in a ruined world, and you're a ditto, and you learn various abilities to make the world better, and you're building habitats to attract different Pokemon. And the better you make the world, the better you can make the world. I know that sounded stupid. It sounded smarter in my head, but it's like, as you're like improving all the Pokemon homes and stuff, they unlock more recipes so that you can improve their homes further. And like right now, I'm trying to get my area more humid so that I can get a Slowpoke to yawn so that he can make it rain so that we can free up an Onix that's trapped in an area so that we can bulldoze the old Pokemon Center so that we can rebuild it. And I think at some point we're going to try to get humans back into the world, because that's the thing, is that humans have kind of disappeared and the Pokemon kind of want humans to be back because, you know, some humans were nice. And yeah, the gameplay loop is pretty much, Dragon Quest Builders, just without the repetitiveness of having to redo everything. I don't know if there's going to be other areas in this game. I haven't looked up anything of that nature.
Yeah, but I watched a few streams, and one of the things I really enjoyed about is how much character personality the Pokemons have. Like at one point, someone the Pokemons will ask for things like, hey, I want some toys next to my habitat. So there was a Oddish who was like, oh, I would like to have some toy blocks. And so they put some toy blocks next to the Oddish. And they were like, no, I think the toy blocks could be, you know, I should move them a little bit to the right. So the streamer picked up the toy blocks, and Oddish just became heartbroken. Where are my toy blocks? No. And it was very sad. Oddish going, where are my toy blocks? I moved them. That's all. But they all have like this small personality things, like Magikarp, just every time when he says something, it's yo, yo man, yo. That's how he talks. And there's also a part where Charmander will tell you that he threw up a little bit, and those kind of things. It's just fun little interaction with the Pokemons. And there's also Professor Tanglegrowth, who doesn't know much about the human world, but thinks he knows a lot about the human world. So they ask for his guidance constantly. It's very cute. It's very well done. I like it.
Oh, yeah. This game is charming as hell. And you're right. I had to move a campfire because I have a Hoot-Hoot in my town that wanted his habitat to be darker. And the habitats kind of overlap a little bit. So I had to set down a campfire earlier because of a quest. And I moved the habitat, or moved the campfire. And I think it was like Charmander that was like, no, you took my campfire. I was like, I'm sorry, the Hoot-Hoot wants it darker, and I don't know how else to make it darker. Then other Pokemon are like, well, I want more light. So you put a campfire or a candle or something in their area, and they get all happy. And
oh, you'll give them a candle, but not your Charmander, huh?
Well, yeah, because it depends on what they want.
The Charmander has his own candle. It's his tail, so
He doesn't want to be on the clock 24/7. Sometimes he just needs some other light.
Well, if his flame goes out, he dies. That's the whole thing, right?
So you put him in the rain, didn't you?
Of course I did.
Oh, no.
On a tree stump, left him out there until Ash found him.
So it was you.
It was me all along.
I left Charmander dying in the rain.
No, I did what the kobolds in WoW told me never to do, and that was take candle.
Oh, no. Don't take candle.
I took Candle. But I didn't know that, and I'm not surprised that this game was made by the Dragon Quest Builders people. I did not know that.
Andy's been telling everyone who will listen. And now my cat is laying on the screenshot button and took 4 screenshots. Thank you, Twinkie. Thank you.
I showed the trailer to my son, and he immediately went like, those textures are very similar to that's Dragon Quest Builders. Mm-hmm. That's Dragon Quest Builders. That's, and then he also got very
without the context.
Excited.
He just knew it.
He knew it. He spent 1,000 hours in that game during the pandemic, so he lived there completely.
Yeah, I spent about 1,000 hours into just building my ultimate town. And it was like, okay, I literally have nothing else I can do in this game.
Yeah.
Because I've done everything.
Time for chapter 2.
I think the only thing my son didn't do was the, in Dragon Quest Builders 2, the breeding of the perfect dogs or cats and those kind of things, because it was a little bit more elaborate, and he was a little bit too young to understand all those things because you had to have certain fruits and those kind of things. So he didn't do that. But if he would have done those things, he would have a platinum trophy of that game. So yeah, it's like drugs for him.
I didn't know that you could breed cats and dogs in that game.
Yeah, you can.
Well, you didn't play enough thousands of hours, apparently, Kelly.
I know.
Time to go back. Andy likes to replay Dragon Quest Builders 2 whenever he comes across a new platform he hasn't played it on yet. Wait, no. He just does it on the same... I forget. That's right. It's the Might and Magic game you play on every new platform. So how many times have you replayed Dragon Quest Builders 2, Andy?
Like 4?
And how many hours have you put into Pocopia so far?
None yet.
What the hell's going on here?
So, one, it was sold out everywhere. And then I realized that didn't matter because it's a key card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the main reason why I bought it digitally.
Normally, for a game like this, I would buy it physically with the presumption that when I'm done with it, I'm going to hand it off to the boys, right? Or to the boys. So either my niblings would get it or local friends would get it. But neither of them have a Switch 2 yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if my niblings are going to get a Switch 2 or if they're going to switch to a PlayStation. Because the older one, he just turned 10 and he really wants a PlayStation 5 because a couple of his friends have a PlayStation 5. And we're sort of like working through the... Do you understand that if you have a PlayStation 5, you can't play Mario games? Because I'm not sure that he's really grasped that yet.
And I'm not completely anti-keycard, mind you, because I did pick up Monster Hunter Stories 3 this week, and that is a keycard game. Mostly because I have the other two games physically on Switch 1, and I kind of wanted to keep the tradition going. I don't know when I'm going to get to that one, though. Because Pocopia is going to be the new take over my life game for the time being. I have a feeling I'm going to put hundreds of hours into this just because I love Minecraft-type games.
Yeah, and I can also see that it scratches an itch for a lot of people who were really into Animal Crossing when it came out during the pandemic and are also going like, oh, I would like another one of those cozy games. I've seen so many clips on social media of people just building new things, and it's actually been quite surprisingly popular for... I know it's a Pokemon game, but it's the highest rated Pokemon game on certain websites, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's very highly rated, but... Yeah, one day I will buy it, and then I will never see my son ever again.
Sure you will.
He will turn 18, and he'll go, Father, I have returned.
It's not Roblox, jeez.
Oh, he hates Roblox.
Oh, really? So, you did it. Yeah. You're a good parent.
No, that
good
is
job.
Like the best outcome ever.
Yeah.
My son and I, we have our own Minecraft server, so I host it just here.
Aren't you supposed to be Hytale now? I forget.
No, we haven't made a switch
down.
Yet.
Wait, it shut down?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, wait, no.
Oh, there's High Guard, right?
HYTALE is what I'm. Oh, no. High Guard is the. Yeah, that was the game nobody wanted. That. Oh,
yeah,
man.
High Tide is the one that was bought by Riot and then was given back to the developers again. And that is like a. It's a Minecraft like with a lot of things that are added. I've looked at a lot of videos of that and I'm like, one day we'll make the switch.
It's like the real sequel to the Java version of Minecraft that never happened.
Yeah, you know, true.
That's the idea of Hytale, but like, I also don't know if it's really any good because it was all paid marketing with all the streamers a few weeks ago, and I don't know if it's really got legs or not. So,
it looks interesting. I want to check it out, but is it in early access right now?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
What isn't, Kelly?
Yeah, no, that's all
right.
A good point.
The game I'm playing right now that is not done is not in early access. They released. And like I love them so much for actually just saying, no, well this is, it's the game will never be finished. It's a freaking, you know, MMO, so like it's time. It's 1.0. Then their servers fell over cuz MMO. Sorry. Anyway, Poetry Jam is happening now if people have are watching the stream, so this is,
I'm watching this. I see a lot of people in this room and a lot of poetry coming in.
Yep,
amazing.
Mm-hmm. You get experience for grading the poetry. You get poetry appreciation XP. Like everything's a skill in this game.
Dying is a skill.
Yeah, I need to go pick up gender studies at some point,
so that you can swap back and forth and min-max your character.
No, I don't even know what it's used for, but I know it's in the game. And yeah.
If it's around, you're going to have to learn it,
is exactly.
I'm hearing.
Well, not really, but I feel that way.
I see
Chris,
some amazing poetry.
You have become the completionist.
No, yes. I always have been.
Well, just as long as you're not ripping off charities.
Oh, no, not that completionist. Oh, okay. There was follow-up.
Oh,
on,
no.
You know, I don't even want to say because...
No, you know what? We are not going down that route.
It sounds like he may not... The people who were attacking him were also bad, so we can't trust 100% of all the allegations against him.
Oh, okay.
But it sounds like both people might also... He might also still be... It's weird. So it's like, well, we can't trust this
Everyone
source.
Sucks
but
here.
All the evidence is that something was wrong with his stuff. But we don't know what, because the people who were making claims that they couldn't back up because they aren't tax accountants and don't know what they were reading to begin with. So it's a whole thing.
I concur.
The situation is ridiculous.
I concur with Andy's opinion. Everybody probably sucks there.
Probably, yeah. Except Jamie Lee Curtis.
He did.
She
what
can
he
come
wanted
and sponsor whatever event she wants to.
He did what he wanted to do. He's a completionist. He completed his YouTube career. So.
He's unlike Pirate Software, who's trying to. Oh, no. Why am I doing that? No.
No. All right. Speaking of completing things, I finished the game. And I finished it in a way that Chris approves of.
Somebody put Ode to Spot in the Poetry Jam. Felis Catus is your taxonomic nomenclature, an endothermic quadruped carnivorous by nature. No, I'm not going to read this. That's great.
Finished Hyrule Warriors Age of Imprisonment.
Yay.
So I finished the main story quest, and I was actually legitimately sad because having not played Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom, I didn't know that was going to happen.
Yeah.
So that for me was just like, oh, my heart is breaking in my chest.
Oh, no. Sad end. Don't spoil.
Because I couldn't figure out so when I started this game, I can't remember who I said it to. I said to someone, I don't understand why Minoru is Zelda's predecessor and not the king and his queen. And they were like,
finish the game.
You should just keep playing. And so
well, now you've inferred spoiler it. Hey.
It is not a spoiler unless you have been like me and 100% avoided the two mainline games that this is based off of.
One.
The number of people that is going to apply to that and that listen to our
show.
Yeah,
but those two people are going to be really angry, Andy.
Yeah, and if that's you, I am so
You need
sorry.
To come and get restitution from Andy on the server. So go at pause RPG and tell him what you think.
Yes, and you can join the Discord by heading to rpgamer.com/discord. Or you can go to twitch.tv/rpgamer and watch us recording live every week at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, except for today. And do !Discord, and that will get you an invitation. And while you're there on our Twitch channel, you might as well follow us and say hi.
That's right.
The great thing about that ending is that it doesn't spoil anything about Breath of the Wild. Or no, I'm sorry, not Breath of the Wild. Tears of the Kingdom. But if you did play Tears of the Kingdom, you'll recognize what's going on instantly.
Yeah, so because I was never going to play Tears of the Kingdom, I told Brooks, who's the guy who his family fostered our Doug Trio kitties, and his
including this cat here.
Daughters have both played both Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom like for hundreds of hours. And I was like, at the start of this game, Zelda like falls off of an island and disappears into a portal. And Brooks is like, oh yeah. And then sometime later she comes back and is like, oh man, you have to hear what happened to me.
You won't believe it. Have you ever heard
what happened?
Have you ever heard of Dynasty Warriors?
So, yeah, and this is the part that will make Chris very happy. When you finish the main story quest, a huge swath of additional quests open up where you have to 100% each of the 10 zones in the game in order to get a sketchbook completed.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the NPCs in the game, she's writing down all of this stuff and doing sketches for everything. And I 100% finished all 10 of her sketchbooks and got the sketch animated additional credit sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very pretty and very cool. And as lame as it sounds to like, I played another 15 hours just so that I could get a second set of credits. It was so worth it. I loved it. So I finished Hyrule Warriors 100%. And then I was like, what do I want to play next? I don't want to play another action game because I want to rest my elbow a little bit between multiple action games. So I'm probably going to play a turn-based HD 2D game. And I looked at Dragon Quest 3 on my Switch 2, and I was like, yeah, this is really tempting, and I have wanted to play this version of it for a while. But honestly, I'm kind of super jonesing to play Octopath Traveler Zero, because I played Octopath Champions of the Continent back when it was a mobile game. And I played it for about 10 or 11 months, not quite a year, because I remember getting an email for the first anniversary and being like, it's been a couple weeks since I logged in. Maybe I won't do this. And so I got about 50, 60% of the COTC story. And so Octopath Traveler has a whole new prologue to it. Where you get to sort of like design your character in terms of like what's their favorite dish and what skill did they learn growing up. And yeah, obviously what they look like to a very small extent. But it was cool because I just love this idea of shaping a character's sort of like defining traits. And then you sort of like have this little setup scene where you're... By the time you're finished the prologue, it's like, all right, I have a motivation to go out into the world and like kick these three people's butts because I am just very angry. And that prologue is what introduces the town building that's been added to Zero. Some of it may have been added to COTC, but it would have been after I stopped playing, so I can't really comment on it. So all of this town building is new, and there are quests attached to it where you're going out and finding all the survivors that fled Wishvale when power, wealth, and fame attacked back in the day, air quote, because you were much younger, and now it's like 6 years in the future, and you're going to rebuild Wishvale, and you have to go find all those survivors and get them to come back home. So it's been very fun working my way through that. I had to stop doing the Wishvale quests for now because I have to do a level 24 challenge battle. So I have to fight against a couple of very specific NPCs. But my party is level 20 and 21. So I'm stopping there. I finished Powers first story. So now I'm going and finishing off Fame's first story. And then we'll see what level I'm at that point. I'm probably going to have to do Fortune as well. So, Wealth, sorry, not Fortune. Wealth. Wealth,
I feel
Power,
like
Fame.
you're doing Incarnations of Immortality rather than a freaking Octopath game now. I'm very confused.
I feel like it does have sort of a lot of crossovers to that sort of like dystopian urban fantasy, even though this is not urban or modern in the least, which I find just really interesting. It's kind of low fantasy, but it's
What
also
you're
very
saying was
urban-y.
written by somebody who lives in a dystopian urban reality. Yeah.
So that's what I've been playing. I've also been dinking around with a little mobile game. What is this game called again?
I don't know. It looks like every game that gets advertised on like
Yeah, it's called Last
YouTubers who have no
Asylum.
scruples.
Yeah, it's called Last Asylum. I like it because there's no ads in it.
I
And
don't
even
believe
though
you. There
it is
can't
definitely
be.
like, there is definitely a pretty significant degree of wealth extraction opportunities. It never actually asks you if you
Wealth
want to buy stuff.
extraction
You have to go looking
opportunities.
for the packs, which I think is really cool and novel. And it's just like, it's nice because I don't feel like, hey, pay me, pay me, pay me, pay me is in my face all the time.
But
And
what
no
about when you
ads.
run out of energy and you're like, man,
Then I just turn off the game. There
no,
are
that,
very
see, that requires
obviously.
self-control.
There are very obviously like predetermined breakpoints where it is like, if I close the game now, there is no ramifications for doing so. And I'll just have to come back later when something's recharged or my covert operation is done or my caravan is back from exploring the world and stuff like that. So yeah, it's just it I think that it's really well designed to not be in your face with, spend money. So that just made me happy. So that's all that I've been playing. So I think we are down to the question of the week. What was the question of the week? Oh my gosh,
We
has it really? Wow,
yes.
it's been a long
Yes.
time.
It has been.
All right. So 3 weeks ago, you didn't put the question of the. Oh, here we go. Talk Pokemon to us. Do you like the pricing of the Red Green re-releases? What did you think would be in the Pokemon Presents? So, flipping back over to the answers, Strawberry Eggs, who is like our local resident Pokemon expert, she says, I'm not going to get into Fire Red Leaf Green because I have Leaf Green on GBA already, but the price seems fair to me. Gen 10 is virtually guaranteed to be showed off at this year's Pokemon Presents. Just as a random shot in the dark, there will be a first theatrical anime film for Pokemon since Secrets of the Jungle in 2020. She was at least correct about Gen 10 being showed off, right? We did get a new Pokemon game announced.
Pokemon
Yes.
Winds and Waves.
Yeah. We've got a new story later.
Oh, don't spoil the news story.
Okay.
Whoops.
We spoiled the new story.
Oh,
Oh,
no. Canceled.
well.
Stop the show.
Oh, okay. So crawl through down. I'm predicting the announcement of Pokemon Silk and Velvet, a setting inspired by China, or Pokemon Sand and Stone, set in Australia. If China, the starters will be Dragon, Lion, and Panda. If Oz, Koala, Kangaroo, and Kookaburra. So, do we know what region Winds and Waves is based off of yet?
No clue.
So, it could still be Oceania. You're still
Yeah,
in the running, Krull.
I believe it's the southern Asian part. At least that's what most people say.
Oh, okay. That's Oceania.
Because there's a lot of islands going around again.
Mm. All right. Krull also says we're going to get Poke XCOM, a new strategy title where you control squads of Pokemon named after your friends, only for them to die in battles against alien invaders after missing with tackle despite having a 90% chance to hit.
That actually would be pretty fun.
There was Pokemon Conquest on the DS, and I played the absolute snot out of that game. I did like every single piece of optional content. I did tons and tons of grinding. I loved that game, and I'm so sad that we have yet to have another tactical RPG like that.
Because I don't think it did very well. But you know,
it didn't. But they also Nintendo didn't publish it. It was given to NISA. Mm. Was it NISA or Koei Tecmo?
It might have been Koei Tecmo.
Okay, yeah, and like I couldn't believe it when I went to play it at E3 the year that they were showing it off. It wasn't even pointing at the show floor. The way that they had their booth set up, it was pointing away from all of the walkways and stuff, and so people couldn't even really organically find it. And so, yeah, I think it sold like crap, but I also think that it sold like crap because there was no money put behind it like there would be for a typical Pokemon game.
And it was kind of a mix between Pokemon and something like a Nobunaga's
Ambition,
it
was,
right?
Yeah, it's sort of like how Hyrule Warriors is a Dynasty Warrior game with Zelda characters. It was Nobunaga's Ambition, but what if Pokemon? And I think it was around the time that I had started reading the Tamarine series as well.
Wait a second.
Which is like, what if Napoleonic Wars, but dragons?
Oh, yeah.
Well, hold on. Does this mean the real answer is we need a Pokemon Musou?
Yes.
Yes.
And also another Nobunaga's Ambition tactical RPG crossover. Listen, I am a greedy man. Give me all the Pokemon spinoffs. Mm-hmm. The Pokemon, it's not that I don't like the Pokemon mainline games. I always buy them. I always play them. I always finish them. Almost always finish them. But like, if you asked me what my favorite Pokemon games were, I would say things like Pokemon XD Gale of Darkness. I would say Pokemon Conquest. I would say Pokemon Arceus, which wasn't intended to be a mainline game. It was just super, super successful. So they've made more of in that style. And they've decided they're kind of mainline, but kind of not. And so, like, I'm excited by Pokemon side games. Give me more Pokemon side games that aren't Mystery Dungeon.
I want more Mystery Dungeon.
Well, too bad. I've decided that's the only one that's not allowed anymore. And my word goes. Heyman.
Apparently they're listening to you.
Shaman. Someone forgot to put the S on the front of this.
My bad.
I'm like, Heyman. Oh, okay. Shaman. And it's going to be funny when you realize why I recognize this as being Shaman. The pricing for Fire Red, Leaf Green in Canada is $30 a piece, which is somehow the last price the game had at retail. It got a player's choice release back when those things existed, and also irrelevant to my purchasing decision. That's going to come down to if they include events in the release the same way they included the GS Ball event for Celebi in the 3DS Virtual Console version of Crystal, since that would give an easy access to Deoxys, Ho-Oh, and Lugia. I think the presents will have the next reveal. Will have the reveal of the next generation, and despite some leaks saying it will be Switch 2 exclusive, I think we will see an original Switch 1 version. Sorry, Shaman, You called that one wrong. Also, a surprising amount of Pokemon Go will be there before we hit the fireworks factory.
No, because Pokemon Go has its own event coming up in a few months. Because then they are 10 years.
Yeah, they have Go Day where you can go to parks and just hang out with other people playing Go and catch cool things.
And I only know this because I still play Pokemon Go because both my parents are really into Pokemon Go.
Your
which is super
parents?
weird. My parents.
Okay.
My almost 65-year-old parents are really into Pokemon Go. They are far higher level than I am, and they've been playing it daily, and they will message me like, "You haven't sent me a gift today. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You're a terrible son.
Terrible son,
Eric."
Yeah, so they are really into, and that's why I'm still playing it. That's also why my wife is now still playing it.
All right,
and they will have their own event.
Let's see if I can remember where my words is. War East mine. Oh shit! I don't know the word for gift. How do you say gift in Dutch?
Cadeau.
Wait, it's just the French word?
Well, yeah, we can spell it the French way, but we can also spell it the Dutch way. Both is cadeau. Yeah. Well, yeah. Come on, we're the Netherlands. We use a lot of other languages.
Waar is mijn cadeau?
Where's my cadeau?
There we go. I still speak like I'm.
That is my cadeau zone.
All right, Gwilingu writes in and says, "If I'm honest with myself, I would gladly pay $20 for one of these to get an idea of how the series started. It doesn't feel great, but it's like right as at the topmost limit of what I would pay for it." And I think that's sort of why it is $20. Is I think at some point they did enough market research to do the math and realize that there is enough people clamoring for, hey, I want to be able to buy and own certain games outside of the virtual console, and $20 is the most that people are going to pay for it before there's a lot of like cranking and bitching about it. And they could put it 25% off and have it be $15, and that's still like a good price point for it. So yeah.
And because
I think
that's
why $20.
And because they asked money for it, they did the extra work, so it's connected to Pokemon Bank,
yep,
and those kind of things. And if you look at the other Pokemon games that are on the NSO, like Pokemon Stadium 1 and 2, they are not connected to Pokemon Bank and those kind of things.
Yep,
so they
you can't transfer Pokemon in or out of them. So, P.S., question for Kelly. Will there be an Atelier April with the Mysterious Games?
Yes.
Huzzah.
With the April Fool's Day episode that has nothing to do with Atelier.
Oh god. Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. We had lots of options. We went with the April 1st brings the worst. I'll just leave it at that.
This is going to be so good. All right. So our question of the week for this week is inspired by our special guest, Eric. And we want you, dear listeners, to tell us, what old janky game do you love, even though everyone else hates it? And if we get some good suggestions, maybe we'll torture Hairfrog by having him play that old janky game on the Twitch channel.
Yeah. I hope so.
Sorry.
Thinking, yeah. No, go ahead.
No, I can't think of anything RPG related, but definitely Bubsy qualifies for that for me.
Oh, goodness.
My brain went to Two Worlds 1 and Two Worlds 2 right away, because those games are really janky, and a lot of people don't like Two Worlds 1 and Two Worlds 2, but they are really fun. They have so much potential of just completely breaking, especially Two Worlds 2, who has a absolutely bonkers magic system in it. You can make your own spells. So during my playthrough, I had a spell that threw fireballs, and if the fireball connected, it spawned in a skeleton. So it was just fireball, and my whole screen was just full of summoned creatures everywhere. I had traps that would have a poison cloud, and when someone hit on the trap, it would also summon a lot of spiders. But you could mix and match a lot of things in there. And because of that, of course, it was completely broken, but I really enjoyed it. Story of both the games is absolutely horrendous and stupid. It's broken as heck, but I love it. On the other hand, you have Vagrant Story, and Vagrant Story is just stupid. It's a janky game, and I hate it.
But people liked it.
Only people who have a memory from then like it. So many people are going to get angry, that's it.
Yeah.
Vagrant Story has a lot of systems that are very janky, that don't work on the system that they were created. They were very much ahead of their time, but if you would play it now, you would say, other games have done it better already now. So in that time, it was, you know, amazing. But now, yeah. Sorry if you like Vagrant Story. I will never play that game ever again.
Well then, I'm feeling what might be a $250 extra life donation this year.
Oh, not again. People have been pestering me that I didn't do the post game when I streamed it. So who knows?
It's oh, yes. Force Hairfrog to play the Two Worlds 2 post game. Oh, that sounds like an excellent donation incentive.
Oh, wait. I still have the DLC for Two Worlds 2.
That's right. I bought you like that whole bundle. And yeah. It had some sort of like Two Worlds 2 game that isn't an RPG, but is really weird.
The tower defense game.
Yes. Oh, yes. All right. We're set for extra life this year. All right. All right. So you can give us feedback by heading over to rpgamer.com, finding the latest show thread, dropping a comment there under the podcast, or you can pop over to rpgamer.com/discord. Join our Discord. We have a channel called Podcast, so you can drop your feedback there, and you can even ping me at pause so that I see it and can add it to the spreadsheet. And otherwise, we do have people that are commenting on our YouTube videos. Thank you for watching our YouTube videos of these podcasts. So lots of places to get in touch with us. So Kelly,
yes,
do you know what time it is?
I believe it is news time.
Beep 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 beep
beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep
beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep
beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep
beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep
beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep beep
Yeah. Can you tell us the difference between these two images?
The same.
For those who don't know, like 2 years ago, I played through every Disgaea mainline game. Yes. And not only the story, but also defeated every first Baal fight that you would get into. So often you would get a Baal is one of the hardest enemies. In some iterations, you will get to the Baal fight, and then after that, you get a whole extra post game and those kind of things. But there are also, for example, this guy, D2.
What about the first one that was automated? Like, you fight Baal like really early on. Did you just give up at that point in chapter one?
No. So no, I did. Yeah, no. After I've defeated him later on.
Okay. Because I can see you being like, yep, no, I'm done. It's failed my requirement. I'm out.
No, I've done all of them. So also the hardest one for me was this guy at D2. Mm-hmm. The Baal fight was added as a DLC later on, I believe. They added it. And it's... no, they added it as a DLC in the Japanese version. So in the Western release, it was added as the ultimate final boss. I think that fight is the hardest fight I've ever done in my life in a video game.
That's the one that it took you like 3 or 4 different streams to get through it.
Yes, and I also had every single step for what I needed to do written out in a notepad on my desktop. Like, okay, in this turn, I need to do this. In this turn, I need to do that. And if anything just went a little bit different than I thought it would be, it just broke. That was the hardest battle that I've ever done. I like this guy, yeah, absolutely. I like how broken it is and how janky it can be when you break everything. But that fight, that That broke me. And now we have a Musou.
Yeah, the sad thing is, I think Prinny Bale is even worse than Bale.
Yeah, it is.
I've never done those post-game fights.
No, so in Disgaea D2, there is no Prinny Bale. Prinny Bale is, I believe, in... I believe in 6 and 7 there is a Prinny Bale, but after you've defeated the first Bale and then you go back in. So that's why I said the first time I encounter Bale and I fight him and I defeat him, that's it. But then in Disgaea D2, they added him as the really ultimate last boss of everything. Like, doesn't matter if you're like extremely overleveled, because it also has 5 phases, if I remember, 5 or 6 phases that you had to go through. And there were phases that he didn't receive any damage. Oh, and it would fluctuate. So one on the even turns, he didn't get any physical damage. And on the uneven turns, he wouldn't get any damage from magic. Well, a lot of systems going in place in that one. Bonkers.
Yeah. So I'm curious how, if the damage in Disgaea Mayhem is going to be crazy. They announced this basically Disgaea action RPG, and you watch the trailer and it's just Disgaea Musou. Now I'm being sarcastic with this. It is not an official Musou game. That's just the vibe that it gives me. We don't have a release date on this yet. We do have a $100 collector's edition with a whole bunch of stuff. That's just how Disgaea collector's editions go. I will be curious when this comes out.
I do wonder if it has the same gameplay loop as a normal Disgaea game has, but then instead of having your strategy RPG, it will be just an action RPG. Because I did see in the trailer that you gain some stats after defeating like monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the same loop that you have to go back to level 1 and then so you can, you know, reincarnate multiple times? Is it the same? So I do wonder if this same loop is in there. I might try it. I might not like it because, to be quite honest, most of the times the Disgaea stories have been meh or bad sometimes.
No.
Disgaea
but I
want to
be
really
a final
bad.
Boss.
Oh, and Disgaea 6 was really bad. I liked Disgaea 7. That story was nice, but man, Disgaea 3, that was...
Which one was so, Sardines? Yeah. That was okay.
Sardines 4. Is 4.
Okay.
No, 3 was
No, Chris,
Overlord.
You have to say it correctly.
Sardines!
Yeah, it's like Sardines is also the game with the final boss girl, so it's like it's got its ups and downs, so whatever.
I think the last one I finished was 6. I haven't gotten to 7 yet.
I played 6 on the Switch, and that's the worst version.
That's what I've heard.
And I was thinking about that because I have a Switch 2 now. I wonder if it runs better now on a Switch 2.
I guess we'll see. I'm going to keep an eye on this game because I'm curious about it. I was also curious about that other game that NIS is putting out, the Estrange Overlord. That's their strategy game this year.
Estrange Overlord? Because it's like... It's Strange Overlord, except the S at the front has been changed to an E.
Yeah. I feel like that's a spiritual sequel to the...
Is it an E or is it a Sigma?
I think it's just an E.
Okay.
Yeah. And we've got new Pokemon.
New Pokemons!
Announced during the 30th anniversary Pokemon Presents. We got Pokemon Winds and Waves. And 3 new starters. And... I've already seen so much fan art of these new starters.
I've seen every rule of fan art, Kelly.
As thirsty as Blue Sky tends to be, I did not see any bad fan art. Or not bad fan art.
No, you can call it bad. You can call it bad. No, people really want that dog.
Yes, the dog is very popular and the Angry Bird.
Oh, it is an angry bird, isn't it?
Yeah, he is.
So we've got Brout, the grass type bean chick Pokemon,
aka Angry Bird.
Ponbon, the fire type puppy Pokemon,
aka don't turn into a fighting type, please.
Please.
And Gekwa, the water type water gecko Pokemon.
Oh, the other one who's probably the best choice, but nobody wants.
And will probably be very sexy in her final evolution because
well,
of her big
okay,
eyes.
That's fair. Yeah.
Sorry.
And then we have vacationing clothes Pikachus for some reason.
I've seen a lot of memes about these two Pikachus. They are trying to save their marriage. They are there. This is the last thing they could do.
Yeah. Okay. I looked at their tails. Yes, they are male and female. Okay.
Yes.
They paid attention.
Oh, with the tails. Yeah.
But that was, it was pretty much just a tease. No word of when or what. When this is going to come out, it's probably going to be a Switch 2 exclusive because of scenery porn of the different areas, but that was about it. Basically, all we've got is just an announcement. It's pretty much it.
And Switch 2 only, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think, yeah. If they're going for the high graphics that the trailer showed, I'd imagine so.
Yeah.
I honestly feel like Scarlet and Violet was supposed to be a Switch 2 release and they had to walk it back because of the delay.
Yeah, because if you've played those games on the Switch 2, they run so much better. Mm-hmm. Like, it's night and day. There's almost no popping anymore. There are things that are in the distance that, you know, render better, and you're like, yeah, maybe it's always been for this system and not for the Switch one.
Mm-hmm. So we'll probably keep you posted on more announcements. Oh, and estimated release date is 2027, so not going to be anytime soon. But I'm glad that they're not rushing it out for this year, because I think all Pokemon games could use a little more time in the oven. Also, I am Team Fire Puppy, because it's the cutest of the three. And
gonna turn into a giant gym bro and carry you around.
Oh.
I'm slightly okay, but
okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The memes of duct taping it to the ground have already started. So please stay. Please stay four legged.
Just be a cute Pokemon the whole time. Why is that so hard?
Funnily enough, Fuecoco was the opposite as a fire type. It started out as two-legged, and its final evolution was four-legged. So, buck the trend.
Yeah.
I believe most of the starters end up with that one of them is four-legged and the rest is two-legged, because Charizard is on two legs, Blastoise is two legs, Venusaur is just on all fours. Most of them, except maybe the last generation maybe the last two generations.
Maybe. I
want the Angry Bird, to be honest.
I want to know why they keep going with the crappy digital sound effects for Pokemon. Like, these things haven't been digital monsters since the first game. Why are we continuing with that? Just use anime voice acting for their voices.
I thought that some of the modern ones did have, like, actual cries.
Only for Eevee and Pikachu.
Okay. Oh, well. Moonlighter 2 is getting a Switch 2 version.
Maybe now Andy will try it.
I'm just waiting for it to come out of Early Access.
Oh, is it?
Like, I'm sorry, I spent almost 20 years working in the games industry.
On Early Access?
And I don't want to QA your game. I just want to play it when it's done. Thank you.
I don't blame you. It's supposed to come out of Early Access at some point this year, probably.
Yeah, that's when this happens. Oh. Oh. I see.
Yeah.
What the heck? So you can get it in Early Access right now on Steam? Switch 2? No. The Switch 2 version will be the release version. So there you go, Andy. Yeah. So you just wait and buy it on Switch 2 and you're good to go.
Yes. Yes, that's the plan.
And we'll make you happy because we'll put it on a key card just for you.
I hate you. don't wish this into existence.
I didn't wish it. I just recognize that it's going to happen.
Speaking of which, it's also got its first major early access update, the Greed and Glory update. Does anybody care
or want
me to go into it?
I care about when it's out.
Okay. Supposed to be sometime this year.
Look, it's an action RPG. We run around and collect a bunch of stuff and then sell it in town later. Like, we already know what we need to know. Just put the game in the thing. Mark it done. Let's go.
Yep. Everhood Hunters has been announced. Everhood was a kind of Undertale-like game with action rhythm combat. I don't know what this Hunters is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a roguelite with a run-based structure.
Musical battle roguelite.
Yeah.
All right.
Set to come out on PC and Switch in 2027. I still have yet to play the original Everhoods. They looked kind of Undertale-y, but that was about it. Kena, the Bridge of Spirits is coming to Switch 2 this spring. I think we talked about the sequel to this the last time we podcasted, and now the original game is coming to Switch 2.
Yeah. It'll be there too. And it'll look a lot less nice.
It's going to include the game's anniversary DLC and New Game Plus mode.
Man, so it's just like, definitive. It's so clearly lower res than all the other consoles.
I couldn't tell, and I wouldn't know because this game's kind of off my radar.
I hear good things about it. It's just, you know, just an action platformer, right? So, with cute characters.
We did talk about the sequel, Scars of Cosmora,
mm-hmm.
planned to release on PlayStation and PC later this year. So, I guess you can get caught up on Switch, too. Yay. Echoes of Aincrad Sword Art Online announced. I don't think anybody currently here plays Sword Art Online games.
There's so many.
I liked it better when it was called Dot Hack. this particular game is going to release on PC, PS5, and Xbox on July 10th. And yeah, more Sword Art Online.
We're getting a new .hack, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
I'm surprised we weren't getting one sooner, given how much VR isekai has been popular lately. But I'm moving through these pretty fast, so let me know if you want me to slow down. We got a demo for Pedal Runner released. This is a slice-of-life RPG that looks like a Monster Tamer type game. And has a Game Boy Color style to it. You can play this demo on Steam right now.
That's neat.
Looks cute.
Yeah. Very purpley.
Yeah.
Was this a Pokemon game?
It looks like it. The new story kind of doesn't say it. It's a cyberpunk story, too. Or set in a cyberpunk open world city with a new energy product created from flowers known as the Leap Cell, used to power the latest generation of artificial pets.
So, really like how this looks. I like, if you look at the trailer, there's you have a motorcycle and you drive in, drift a little bit. It looks very cool. I might play the demo.
Yeah, I appreciate modern games that will be willing to use the four-color palette.
Yeah.
But we shall see. I'll have to see what you think of the demo, Airfrog. Nihon Falcom revealed a new Dragon Slayer project to celebrate the 45th anniversary of the Dragon Slayer series.
What the heck is the Dragon Slayer series?
Isn't that the original series where Trails came from?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
There's like a weird... In 1989, they released the Dragon Slayer, The Legend of Heroes, which switched to turn-based combat and ended up spawning the Legend of Heroes series.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's like Persona.
Yeah. The most recent title in the Dragon Slayer series is considered to be Lord Monarch, which was a strategy game released in 1991. Yeah, the Nihon Falcom timeline is a rabbit hole.
That is weird, yeah, because this game series may have spawned Legend, Trails in the Sky and all that, but It also spawned a Xanadu subseries, which is that where Fact Xanadu comes from? Or is this, or are we just talking about it led to the creation of the Olivia Newton-John film?
Yes.
Those are two different apocalyptic outcomes, so I don't know.
That I don't know. Like I said.
Xanadu! Boom, 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 boom. Never mind. Okay, so what do we got next?
Never's End demo has been released.
Uh-huh.
This is a turn-based tactical RPG, and the demo's available for Steam. You are commanding a band of warriors created with living metal. And it looks very Final Fantasy Tactics, but with very highly animated sprites from what the trailer has. So kind of looks interesting.
It's a slow strategy game, it looks like.
Yeah.
The wait for a lot of animations.
Yeah. Also big sprites.
Big sprites.
They're beautiful, though.
Looks neat. Mm-hmm. You should check it out. It's it looks cool. It looks unique. Never's and oh, it's a demo, right? So
yeah,
why not? I'll add that to my demo queue that I'll never play.
Descent of Lunaris has a demo. It's the story says this is inspired by Wizardry Ultimate and Shin Megami Tensei. So first person RPG, perhaps? Yeah, first person RPG. It does look very Persona.
Yeah, it does. It's cyberpunk Persona, or is Persona it's, cyberpunk
it,
already?
This is very Shin Megami Tensei.
Yeah, indeed. This is SMT, not Persona. SMT. You're right. Yeah, SMT.
It's like watching Scar's stream.
Yeah, Persona or SMT 1 and 2, first person dungeon crawl action.
But that's funny that the combat looks tile based or. Basically Persona 1.
Doesn't look... No, it doesn't. Oh, then there's that. Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. Because then you go into, like, a first-person screen, so...
Yeah, maybe it's a combination of both.
It also looks creepy as heck, so, like, make sure you're into creepy stuff.
Because this two strategy... Digimon Survive. The two strategy games on the DS for Shin Megami Tensei. I'm blanking. Devil Survivor,
yeah.
You had the grid, but then combat was first person. So it looks like the reverse of that. I don't know. We'll have to check out the demo. The demo is on Steam, by the way, and it lets you try the early part of the game. Moving on, Those Who Rule 2 has been announced. This is a turn-based tactical RPG. I don't even remember the first game.
Man, they did miss something in the title. They could have gone for Those Who Rule 2, as in T-O-O, as in like, look who's talking, look who's talking to.
Yeah.
Look who's talking now. Oh, man, missed opportunity.
Yeah, no, that link. Think of all the extra people who would look at it because, oh, it reminds me of the Talking Baby movie with John Travolta. Yeah.
And the Pets. The third movie was the Pets.
Uh-huh.
Look who's talking now.
I was 8 years old when that first movie came out, and I learned about the birds and the bees way too early thanks to that movie. I wonder if any other 8-year-olds had the same experience. Anyway, I don't know when this is set to come out. It was just announced.
If you're the developer and you just heard this, you're welcome. You can still change your title.
Oh, also, it's turn-based tactical combat, but it's also hexagon.
Okay.
Yeah, hexagon combat's always interesting to me because of the dynamic that it changes. But moving on, Disc Creatures World is releasing this year. This looks like a Pokemon clone. A full remake of the 2016 title Disc Creatures. Set to release for PC later this year, with the demo on Steam available now. Set in a world where there's groundbreaking technology called discs that record creature data. Because you got to make sure that you're legally distinct from Pokeballs. That's always important. Tam just sent me the link to the Those Who Rule 1.
Just came out last year, he says, so.
Oh, okay.
Pretty quick sequel.
Yeah. But, game looks kind of cute. I'm always down for a Pokemon clone. 3-on-3 battle. likes in this one.
More Pokemon likes. More Poke Pokemon likes. Poke likes.
Poke likes.
Pokemon.
The Necromancer's Tale is coming to consoles. This was originally released for Steam in July 2025 and is now coming to Xbox, PlayStation, and Switch 2. A narrative-driven top-down RPG set in an alternate history 18th century. And given the Necromancer moniker, I imagine you're raising the dead. Also looks kind of Baldur's Gate inspired. OG Baldur's Gate. Anyway. We've got the narrative farming sim Delphinium announced, set to release in 2027. Looks like a more dark farming sim.
I was looking over this and it looks kind of interesting because it definitely doesn't have that sort of bright, colorful, light, peppy aesthetic of like Stardew Valley or like Harvest Moon or Story of Seasons. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested in it in sort of a, what does a dark farming sim look like?
It doesn't look dark. It looks fantasy.
Yeah, but it also, a lot of farming sims are really bright and happy and full of hope. And
this is just doing earth tones.
But that's different.
Okay.
In this game, your main character returns after her brother's execution and is dealing with grief.
Oh. So it's a cozy game. Got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is cozy fiction.
She leaves because there's a war going on, and then when her brother is killed, she comes back and is like, well, time to fix things.
Can we talk whatever about the art style of like this game being like half Octopath and half old school DOS adventure game?
Yeah, it's a strange mix.
It's the mixels are going to drive some people very crazy. But
so
yeah,
weird.
Just, the sort of like more somber tone of this, I'm like, all right, I'm interested enough to give it a chance.
Funded by the Australian government.
Oh.
Delphinium, by the way, that's
first,
the name.
Yeah, there I see Grave Seasons there in your videos. That's also a farming sim with a dark twist on it. You have a farming sim, but someone in your community is a serial killer.
Oh, God.
So it could be that you're dating someone, and then it turns out they're a serial killer. That's I heard about that, I don't know how, but it was also like a little bit darker.
So like,
yeah.
Look,
we can't stay cozy forever. Okay.
There's another.
No, it's I believe the demo is out.
And I feel like dark farming sims have become a trend because there's another one out there called Grimshire that's a furry farming sim. But the story is that there's a plague that's cut off your town from trading for food, so you have to grow enough food to basically survive the harsh winter.
Oh, a harsh winter survival game. Never seen those before.
The plague involved is like an advanced form of rabies, so it's also kind of zombie survival.
Grandparents love it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a bunch of woodland critters in the town.
Uh-huh.
Foxes, deers, raccoons, squirrels. I don't know what else. Yeah. So then you can go mine. Okay. So, all right. So we've talked about three games, different games. First was Delphinium, which is the half DOS adventure game, half Octopath Traveler. Then Grave Seasons, which is farming game with serial killer, still not out either. And then finally Grimshire, which is cute fuzzy animals trying to survive the rabies apocalypse in winter. Okay. Got it. Next. Oh, and next up is a Harvest Moon. Great. Okay.
Yeah. All I was saying is that I think that it's neat that we're taking the farming sim and trying to make him grimdark, because there's so many light-hearted farming sims like Harvest Moon. We got a new one announced, Echoes of Terradea.
Bless you.
Gesundheit. Set to come out on pretty much everything.
Oh, Andy, it looks like Natsume finally paid for an artist.
Yeah, so let me think.
Oh, what look was at this wolf. I want to be their friend. Look at
What
that.
was the last Harvest Moon that I worked on? I think it was One World. And like One World's budget was something like four or five times the amount of the Lost Village. And like Hero and Graham were like, we're gonna throw down some serious money on this. And like see how things go. And that was like the one game where pretty much everybody who wasn't like still caught up in the farming wars liked it. And so I guess they've decided that throwing more money at to make really nice looking game development assets is going to be the way to go. Which makes me happy
I
because I
mean,
think this looks neat.
it does look cool, and it's nice to see them not have the same characters again. Been
Well,
repeating
they
a
have to
lot.
have Doc come back.
Do they?
Doc Jr.? Doc Jr. at the very least. Doc
Okay.
Jr. is like, I don't understand how he is so freaking popular,
Okay.
but he is.
All right. Anyway,
Very
so this
popular.
looks neat. It's 3D. It eschews like the more blocky character styles of the not blocky. How do I describe that? BB? I don't know. This is
More
looking like
solid.
we got like PS3 level graphics finally for this Harvest Moon.
Yeah, it's not realistic. It's still kind of like
It should
very
be
anime slash
cartoony.
cartoony.
Yeah.
But it
But
looks
in a
good.
way that I don't mind looking at, which I couldn't say with the last few.
I mean, tis the season to announce a new Harvest Moon game. We'll get more
Why?
information in June and July, and then it'll come out at the end of the year.
Oh, is that how you do it? Okay. That's the form. You'd know the formula. Okay. So is there a Story of Seasons announcement happening around now, too?
Usually, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think they've had one this year. People have been really disappointed with the last couple of Story of
Oh.
Seasons games.
People have been upset with everything that isn't Stardew Valley, Andy. They
Yeah,
want
honestly,
multi-year passion projects.
that's pretty accurate. It messes me up that that game is 10 years old this year. I feel old.
It's only because you are. It's fine. What's next?
I know.
Flying fairy. Oh no.
So Bravely Default Flying Fairy Remaster HD Remaster is coming out, or it did come out on PC and Xbox. Why no PlayStation?
Yeah, it was just like, surprise, it's out now.
Maybe PlayStation's
They had
either
announced
getting a.
this before, though, right?
This
No, it
kind
was
of came
originally
out of
announced as
nowhere.
console exclusive to Switch 2. Okay, and they're like, well, we're also going to
So,
add Xbox and
whatever
PC.
exclusivity that they had is done now.
Oh, right. So it was on Switch 2. Okay. Oh, All right. That makes sense. So that means you think Xbox gave them money?
I think so, because there's no PlayStation, and you would think there would be PlayStation. That is the JRPG system.
It going to be on Game Pass or anything? No, of course not, because it's a Square Enix game. Yeah, all right, whatever. Weird. Okay, is this going to get any of you to play the remaster of Bravely Default?
No.
You
When
weren't
it
waiting to
comes to
play it on PC?
PlayStation,
Yeah, when it comes to PlayStation. What if it doesn't, Kelly?
I don't know what I'll do.
Play it on Steam Deck.
As long as.
I really enjoyed this game, but also Bravely Second. On the 3DS, but I'm not going to replay them. I've been there. I've been
You've
there,
been there.
Gandalf. I was there.
Yeah, that game was pretty repetitive. Moving on, Starfinder Afterlight public beta test announced.
You asked that as a question.
You're right, I did.
Is it
Set
announced? I don't
it is
know. Okay.
available from March 19th and will include around an hour of content from the game. Starfinder is the sci-fi pathfinder, for those that don't know. I don't know if anybody here is going to check this out. You can sign up for the beta test on Steam. Let's see, moving on. Action RPG The Dark West announced. That's planned to release in early access later this year. Set in a cursed frontier ruled by black magic.
Why can't it be ruled by purple magic or silver magic? Always black magic.
I mean, it depends on your magic system. Black and white magic tends to be concepts.
I just realized we did a lot of work in the past 5 years of renaming, of changing language to be more inclusive.
No, no,
we never touched
there.
On black and white magic, did we? We skipped that entirely, and we probably shouldn't have.
Those pesky kids and the black magic.
That's wild. Like that. Wonder why nobody ever wanted to. Okay. Anyway, don't want to get too political here. Hi, Starfinder. It's not. This is Epic Tellers. So this is like a Pathfinder, but Starfinder, which is Pathfinder's sci-fi world hopping setting. Think Starjammer from D&D. So this is not from Owl Cat Entertainment, which is weird to see a Pathfinder CRPG not from then. Oh, okay, only weird to me. Okay, cool. Next.
Sorry.
It's all right. Starfinder. You can sign up for the public beta test by clicking a button on Steam. Done. I signed up.
Wait,
that was easy.
Did we go back a story?
No. Now it's time for Action RPG?
I said the Action RPG Dark West.
When?
And you went into why it's called Black Magic and not Purple
Magic. He was, in his mind, he was still in the Black Magic.
That's why Tam is like, we moved on, Chris.
Yeah. So, Dark West.
What's going on in Dark West? I just saw the trailer. I saw a big man on a train. What was that? Look at that big man on the train. Sorry, I'm so absolutely flabbergasted by the big
man
on the train.
You like big man, big baby man driving a train, right?
I like big man on a train. Absolutely. Look at him. Sorry.
Oh, I keep trying to freeze frame. Like, how do I do that?
Audio listeners, there is a trailer, and there is a big man on the train. If you want to see the trailer, you can go to rpgamer.com, and you go to the new big
Wild.
Man on train.
Yeah.
What else have we got?
Look at that, man.
Oh, a demo came out for a Strange Overlord.
Oh, that was the game we were talking about, where Strange is spelled with an E.
Yeah.
Musical action RPG. Wait, if it's a does this mean it's a Rhapsody sequel?
I don't know. I got the impression that it was a spiritual sequel to Makai Wars because of the overlords.
Yeah. And it's, to me, I feel like it's way closer to like a Makai Wars than it is to like Rhapsody and stuff. I think the thing that's really interesting is the characters were all designed by the person who did the character designs for Conception.
Mm. Ah.
And the Summon Knight series. So visually, this is really appealing to me, but I definitely feel like I need to watch someone stream it.
You could play the demo on your laptop for free.
Or I could...
Kelly, there's a cat.
I could, in 11 days when it comes out,
watch someone stream it? Yeah, all right.
And make a decision from there.
Kelly, there's a cat.
Where's the cat? What timestamp?
On the screen.
Oh, on the screen. Hang on, I've got too many tabs open.
It's the part of the trailer where the dude's stuck in the with his head in the ground.
Oh, it's a little tuxedo that looks like my Alice.
Sam apparently recognizes it as a cat named Gem Drops. Maybe I don't know anything.
If is that this from is part an anime,
probably.
No, the developer is named Gem Drops. Oh, it is.
Oh, okay.
Who made Hollow Hanafuda? Is the Hololive Hanafuda game and Pico Park 2 and Star Ocean the Second Story? R? Oh, yeah, look at that. Neato.
Oh,
okay.
Cute.
All right, well, what's next?
Let's see.
Stupid Never Dies. Oh, no, it's the one where you're a zombie.
So
I remember
you're
this.
You're saying that you need to dare to be stupid?
This was like revealed during the freaking Game Awards and it looked dumb.
Oh.
It's like a 15-year-old's fever dream, is how I would put it.
I see. See, when I saw at least the trailer thumbnail, it looked like Crazy Taxi to me. But I guess it's not that. It's an action RPG with you're playing as a zombie.
Yeah. Well, and you can absorb powers and turn into different monsters, and then just go crazy action/Musou destruction.
I mean, as long as it's fun. show me what you got, I guess. I like a dumb comedy game. He abducts a frozen chick?
He's trying to bring her back to life, and that's why he's in the dungeon.
Okay.
Yeah, surely it'll turn out just fine.
Not creepy at all.
No.
No, she consented to being frozen.
When does this come out? We don't really have a release date. It just says 2026 for PC and PS5.
But do actually check out the trailer if you're interested in that at all, because like, unlike the first trailer during the Game Awards, this actually shows the game. So you can see what you're actually doing it. And the gameplay, as Chaos points out, kind of looks fine.
It looks fine.
Yeah, it's an action RPG. You're running around, you're beating stuff up, turn into a werewolf, turn into a fairy, turn into whatever monster you collect, beat things up more. Then weird story that who knows how that's going to go.
The game is headed by producer Hiroyuki Kobayashi, who I guess worked on Devil May Cry, Dragon's Dogma, and Resident Evil.
Mm.
So, well, I'm certainly curious about it. We'll see how it turns out. And then finally for our news, we've got Final Fantasy 14 patch 7.5, The Trail to the Heavens, has been announced. We've got new main scenario quests, and a new alliance raid, a new dungeon, a new trial, a whole list of different stuff. I don't really see anything specific that's worth
talking it's just more
about.
14. This is the normal cycle. They add a bunch of stuff every patch, more content, more stages of raids and stuff like that. And then this is the final like main story bit that you're going to have in the patch, because this, so there's, whenever you have a 14 expansion, you have the story that ships with the expansion, and then some follow-up story stuff that is between the expansions, sometimes related, sometimes kind of mostly separate. And then this is the part where they start tying, giving you hooks and tie-ins to the next story's expansion, which we'll hear about when it's announced during the fan fest. So if you've been waiting because you're like, these, you know, if you want to like come in and wrap up Final Fantasy 14 Dawn Trail all at once, because like you've didn't feel like playing the patches as they come out and subscribing to the game the whole time, this might be a time to jump in for a month or two and then wait for the expansion to come out. So that's,
what's the general temperature around Final Fantasy 14? Because
that they lost the plot.
It was a little bit lukewarm.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the Dawn Trail story is fine. It's nowhere near as good as, you know, what they just finished wrapping up. Yeah. And it's like, it, with the story not being top tier, the gameplay kind of, you're like, you're relying on yet another WoW-like MMO, and you're like, do I really want to do this?
So this is their kata.
Yeah, I think.
I thought WoW storytelling kind of peaked at Lich King, and then after kata came out.
Legion
and
was good too.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, so WoW's had enough time that, you know, it's been able to bounce up and down, and 14 might do the same. I don't know. So
they just need to reborn their realm again.
He's looking into doing. So like the next expansion announcement could be wild. So that's really going to set the tone for like, is this just,
do it again,
you know, basically hang out here if you like the cycles of gameplay, or all right, we're hooked again, we got another JRPG top quality story or not. We'll find out. Meanwhile, Tam's playing World of Warcraft Midnight. So like he bounced off of 14 entirely.
Wow.
Because we're doing Endwalker this year for MMO RPG month.
Okay.
So I'll be curious to hear.
Endwalker's great.
How peak that is.
What's it called?
Shadowbringers.
Shadowbringers is the best, in my opinion. But Endwalker's still wrapping up that whole thing. So like that, it's all part of that same big story arc. So that's good too. And then after that, it's just like, I don't know that you need it. You need to do something new. It's just it didn't land.
People have also been comparing Midnight to Shadowbringers because of how much light-based stuff there is.
Oh, neat.
So, I don't know.
For some reason, when you said Endwalker, I heard Ed Walker, and I was like, how did Foxworth come into this conversation?
I don't know. Thanks, Foxworth, for helping with the show's production early on.
Yeah, I don't know, because Midnight's the first expansion I have not bought.
Same here, because I'm playing this dumb game where I'm a cow.
Werewolf cow.
Were cow. And I don't need two MMOs at once, that's for sure.
There's just been nothing interesting about this expansion that's made me want to jump in right away, unfortunately. So,
you know, that it's dumb. I'm so musical. Like, it's the trailers for these 14 games expansions is what gets me hyped to play them more than anything else. And Dawn Trail was no exception, because it had a great song intro in it as well. So I know, like, once the next expansion's announced, it's going to have this trailer, and the dude who does their music is going to knock another one out of the park, and I'm gonna be like, oh, I got to play this because it's so cool. The Warrior of Light in that video, who's so much cooler looking than my Warrior of Light, but man, there's rocking soundtrack. I got to kill some baddies. And oh, that's going to go. Okay. What's next?
Well, that was all of the major news stories. I don't know if you want to do a
lightning round. Yeah, let's release lightning round. All right. Xseed Games and Marvelous Lurup announced a Western release date for E's memoir Revelations of Revelations in Celceta, right? It's a Switch remaster of Memories of Celceta, and it's coming to the end of April on the 28th. We've got, I don't know what platforms that's on, but all right.
Well, I know Switch is one of them, because okay. I put this on my birthday list, because Celceta is my favorite game.
WayForward Technologies announced a release date for Sigma Star Saga DX. What? The remaster of the GBA space shooter RPG will arrive digitally on PC, PS5, and Switch in just under a month on April 7th. Did anybody play that back in
the... Yes, back in the day.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. It was a good game.
Team 17 and Beehive Studios announced release date for Lumentail Memories of Trey. The creature collecting RPG is coming on May 26th for PC and Switch. Maverick Games confirmed a firm date for Stellar Tactics' fully released form. After nearly a decade in early access, the 1.0 version will arrive at the end of the month, so March 30th. Bad Idea Factory International announced the PC release date for Calamity Angel's Special Delivery. The delivery RPG is going to show up on Steam in just over a month, April 15th. Or is this going to be the Good Idea Factory? I know.
This did not review well on our
okay,
site.
So this is Bad Idea Factory. Bad got idea. It. Okay, got it, yeah. Netmarble announced that Mongil Star Dive will release next month on April 15th, tax day. The free-to-play monster taming RPG will be available on PC and mobile. Free-to-play monster taming? Oh, but it's Netmarble? Oh, no. No, that's going to want all your monies, isn't it? Okay. Dread XP and Lovely Hell Place, that's a name, announced a release date for Dread Delusions console release. The game will arrive on its new platforms very soon, March 17th. Those platforms being PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch 2. Mint Rocket announced that Dave the Diver's In the Jungle DLC has a release date. It's coming out in April. It's going to partner with Silver Lining Direct release physical editions of the game later this year. Let's see, do we have a more specific date?
I was confused about this story because the headline says April, but the story said June.
You're right. I'm confused on the same thing. So we should probably go find out over Dave the Diver. Let's Google this. Dave the Diver. When's your news posts in the June? June is the correct answer. June 18th. So sorry about that. It's going to come out in June 18th. Nihon Falcom announced that Kyoto Xanadu will release in Japan on July 16th, and there is not a Western release date yet. So that was the thing we talked about earlier with, you know, yep. Olivia Newton-John and E's games, right? No, in Trails in the Sky games, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just curious who's going to localize this, because Tokyo Xanadu, all versions of it were handled by Axis.
Huh.
But I have complained.
Oh, Tokyo Xanadu. That's the store. That's the dungeons in a.
Yep.
With high school.
Yes, okay. It's Persona, but
it really is Persona SMT. Oh man.
Yeah.
All right. Light Fairy Tale Episode 3 has released on Steam Early Access. This is from Mew.Works. It's the first half of the game is out, and yeah, so that's an update to a early access game that I guess we probably talked about before. It's like $10, so go check that out if you're into games that are like this game that I don't know what it's like, but its text boxes and font choices remind me of Final Fantasy VII. No? Okay.
Well, what game was this?
Light Fairy Tale.
Oh, okay. I thought we had a couple of reviews of these games up. I also see them go on sale all the time on PSN.
Apparently, more than just me has been making the comparison to Final Fantasy VII, says Chaos. So, there we go.
Matt Mason, aka Platy, reviewed the first episode and gave it a 2.5 out of 5.
That's not a good sign.
So.
All right. Now we've got some new release dates to cover, right?
Yes.
Greedfall, The Dying World is out. You have to play it now.
Things are about to get dicey.
Yeah, drink a potion.
Drink a potion.
Steam, PlayStation, and Xbox. So that came out in the couple weeks we weren't talking. Kelly, why aren't you playing Monster Hunter Stories 3 Twisted Reflection?
Because I was finishing up Mugenix, and I got sucked into Pocopia. I might boot up Generation tonight.
This is interesting. It's only $25?
That's not right.
No? Oh.
Monster Hunter Stories?
Yeah. Do you know why it's not right? Because the link, someone got confused and copy-pasted something in the wrong place. So this is actually the Steam link and details for Esoteric Ebb.
Because I paid $70 for this.
Yeah, thing. I was going to say, this can't be right. Esoteric Ebb, by the way, I need to probably check out. That might be for you too, Hair Frog. It's a single player CRPG inspired by the freedom of tabletop adventures. So like think tabletop RPG, CRPG, but like dialogue choices on the scale of Disco Elysium.
Okay. Yeah. that sounds like a game I should play.
But besides Esoteric Ebb, Monster Hunter Stories 3, which Monster Hunter Stories 3 is $70. Okay. But it's out now. There's a trial. There's not out now. It is out now. Okay.
I'm glad you said something because I had the key card right here and I'm downloading it now. And that is very freaking annoying to have to do that.
Why? Oh, because, you weren't planning to play it right now anyway, though.
I might boot it up tonight and see which game hooks me more.
All right. So Monster Hunter Stories 3, it's out now. I think that's a pretty big release because it's our more JRPG style Monster Hunter. I don't know how rock, paper, scissors this one is. I'll look forward to you telling me, Kelly. Though there is a free demo. Try that. Then what else we have that was big? A couple things coming out in the next week or so. We've got Rubato, which I don't actually know that that's an RPG at all, but the main character is a frog. So I picked that for you, Eric. Another frog game you can play.
I will add it to my everlasting list of
frog games.
There
are so many more than you'd think there'd be, aren't there?
I'll probably play it during Extra Life with all the other frog games.
So are frogs your thing? Air frog like cats are my thing?
Apparently, yeah.
His name is Hair Frog. What do you expect?
I think it mostly happened because during Extra Life a few years ago, I played through all the frog detective games.
Okay.
And I did do all the voices. So then everybody was like, okay, you just need more frog games.
Well, frogs are the best amphibian.
Additionally, we have another one that's coming out this week, but it's going to be launching into early access, so just be warned of that. But it's a Metroidvania style called Fallen Tier the Ascension. You're looking for a Metroid-style game where you can level up. It looks like it'll fit the bill, but early access, of course. All right, and then we have 3,000 editorials that have come out in the past couple weeks on the site.
Yep. First off, we've got Monster Hunter Stories 3.
Hey,
from Michael
review.
Apps, AKA Wheels. Surprise, he gave it a 4 out of 5.
Hey, all right. Addictive strategy combat. That has to be better than just the rock, paper, scissors now,
right? It's probably rock, paper, scissors.
please.
Endless variety of min-maxing for a player and their monsters and engaging story and world. Negative, the monster variety is a bit lacking and can't control companions or their monster.
Do I need to play the first two?
No.
Okay. I know the answer is no, but it still feels bad. Oh, hey, a review for Esoteric Ebb is next.
Oh, there you go. You can do this one.
Reviewed by Alex Fuller, and he gave it a 4 out of 5. The tabletop-style gameplay works incredibly well with the quest design, entertaining characters and setting, highly enjoyable writing. Oh, Eric, you can't play this then.
Nope.
You're not allowed to enjoy the games you play.
Nope.
Can be a bit overwhelming at first, and City is sometimes annoying to navigate.
And then Pascal reviewed Ys 10, Proud Nordics, the updated version of Ys 10. He gave it a 3.5 out of 5, saying that the storytelling receives a welcome focus in this installment. The characters look great and are well-voiced, and the new content and quality of life features alike make this edition definitive. Negatives, the enemies are a bit spongy and the dungeons repetitive, which I agree with. Whether on land or water, the combat walks the line between fine and fun. And I agree with that too. I thought the combat was a step back from Ys 9.
I would add another negative to it. I think the logo is absolutely ugly. It's very vertical. Yeah.
There's a lot going on with this logo.
I hate
too much. And it looks like it started as an Ys game and ended as an Assassin's Creed game.
It does look like one of the quality of life features is that the boat that you're on travels a lot faster, which was one of my issues with the original game.
Still can't believe they gave him a boat. So stupid. Don't give that man a boat. All right. Escape from Ever After got a review from Sam Wachter. This is the Mario Paint kind of RPG with like a bunch of fairy tale characters. And well, here's a screenshot with Cthulhu in it. So lots of stuff going on. And she gave it a 3.5 out of 5. Says, excellent writing and fun cast of characters, a jazzy soundtrack, story concepts wonderfully bananas. But there are some occurrences of graphical glitches. Many of the puzzles can be fiddly, and 3D platforming, of course, can be frustrating.
If you hate reading, this review will also be on our YouTube channel on the 24th of March.
Ooh. Wait, why so long from now?
Because there's a lot of other videos that I have been uploading lately. Okay. I've tried to put 2 days, except when Backtrack and RPGcast are also being put on the YouTube channel, so I don't overload everybody's
there.
Trying to be nice.
Well, we don't upload the RPGcast as a separate video upload, right? That's just pulling the podcast feed, I hope.
Yeah, but you do get it in your subscription feed.
That makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Just making sure. People are... Lots of weird podcast things trying to happen nowadays. Apple's doing their... No, I'm not going to talk about podcast politics. All right. Under the Island review. Got Alex Fuller writing this one up. Under the Island is top-down action RPG, looks like. Zelda-y. Right? But you have a hockey stick instead of, you know, Master Sword. Charming setting and music, solid puzzle-solving elements, finding way to progress can be annoying at times, and the narrative is lacking, says Alex, for 3 out of 5. Vibrant visuals and stuff, so go check it out, see if you're into it, and I still think having your main weapon be a hockey stick is cool.
Yay. We've got an Atelier Lydia. Liddy and Soulier, Alchemist of the Mysterious Painting review from Sam Wachter, who probably played this for the Backtrack coming up. Sam gave it a 3.5 out of 5, saying that it's a fantastic overall concept, a variety and level design, and the story events are delightful. The negatives, tons of backtracking. Hey, see what she did there?
Mm-hmm.
The game isn't always clear in its directions, and the pacing issues are present. Which I've actually heard that this is the most playable of the 3 mysterious games. So, can't wait to talk about that on Backtrack.
All right. We also have an Adventure Adventure Corner up, where Jordan McLean gives us their thoughts on Resident Evil Requiem. Of course, since it is an RPG, we don't do a full review, but basically it's a review, so Just you don't have a score number at the bottom. You can see what they think about it. And then,
and again, if you hate reading, this has also been uploaded, and this will be released on the 27th of March on our YouTube channel, where you can see Leon doing a lot of cool stuff while Jordan did his own VO. So if you want to listen to Jordan's voice, you can check it out.
Then we have a Mega Man.
We've been doing like tons and tons of video reviews in like the last year or so. So yeah, if you are not following our YouTube channel, it is RP Gamer, like everything else, 1G. Check it out. If you like seeing our long form content converted into videos, give it likes and drop us comments on ones that you particularly enjoy, just so that we have some feedback on things that are going well and things that aren't.
Thank you. Mega Man Star Force Legacy Collection Impression by Jordan McLean. You can check out their impression of that collection. Celesta 2 got an early access preview by Alex Fuller, so you can see what he thinks about their early access release. I did kickstart Celesta 2, but I'm holding off on playing it until, you know, it's out. But I should read this to get a feel for how it's coming along. Then we have The Evolution of Pokemon Battle Systems. What Changed Over 30 Years by Elena Un. I don't know how to pronounce their... I don't know how to pronounce the last name. Help.
I don't even know. Is it a...
Is it Ng? I mean, yeah, it's just NG. I'm so clueless. Well, thank you, Elena. I hope I pronounce it somewhat close. But we have an exhaustive... discussion of all the battle systems. So you could talk, you know, starting from, you know, the black and white games. No, not black. I can't say that with Pokemon because they're actually games called black and white. So starting with the red and blue games that were on the black and white Game Boy, all the way up forward to Z to A, right? So
please, red and green.
Red and green, excuse me. You're right. Then we have another article by Elena about the 30 years of Pokemon, which actually looks like a lot of people wrote about it, not just thank you for putting that together. You can have so many discussions of all the generations, so that's neat. And then we have...
I even got to write in that one.
You did. Kay Van De Vert wrote about the housing in the new World of Warcraft expansion, so you can kind of get some sense of... But also, like, the history of housing in the game. So, kind of get a sense for where housing came from and where it's going and what you can do in it now. The housing's been out a bit if you'd pre-ordered the expansion. So, you could see their nice little orc-themed housing interior that they made with the dragon head mounted on the wall, which is a little creepy since, you know, you might be friends with a dragon and then come home and have one of their, you know, relatives on your wall. It's kind of strange. Mm-hmm.
It's a great test for a relationship.
Yeah, okay. Cyberpunk 2077 gets kind of a retrospective from 5 years later called Cyberpunk 2077, 5 years on by Urtaza Hashmi. And you could go and see their thoughts on Cyberpunk after 5 years of patches and upgrades and now even newer ray tracing lighting improvements, which I assume they're not going to talk about because nobody cares about those things. But I should read this too because I'm curious. Because what's it like if you gave up on somebody who played it then and gave up versus somebody who plays it now and didn't know like what was disappointing about the original release? Like, you have very different experiences, right?
And you also didn't play Night City, right? The expansion that they did. What was the DLC again?
Phantom Liberty is the new expansion. Yeah. So, I mean, I assume you would play it now with that in there, right?
Yeah.
So,
and I guess it's a more complete experience, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. RPG. Wow. I need to be RP fired, Jamer. Andy. RP Gamer. RP Gamer checks out Steam NextFest Winterfest 2026 Part 1 and 2. By Ryan Casa. Thanks, Nalandar, for putting this together. He invited me to be part of it as well, but I got really sick and then didn't end up finishing my review, my little write-up on time. So
I did write something for this one.
Yeah, a lot of people did. So you could go see a bunch of the demos that have been coming out recently. We have little mini impressions on all of them. So Go check those out. And is that it? Is that the last thing? It was. Whoo! Wow, Tam in the chat throwing the challenge down. Jeez. Played my game and did my write-up in under 2 hours.
Whoop-de-doo, mighty Tam. Whoop-de-doo.
You're special, Tam. All right. Is that it? That's it.
I believe that's it.
Ooh, that's a show. I'm tired now.
Hey, only 2.5 hours.
It's a new record. No,
we did call and speed through a lot of it, so
very true.
Yeah, sorry for the delays, folks. I had some health issues, and then we had the Game of the Year show, and I hope that was fun. We'll have another show next week, and then the week after that, I'm actually going to be out again because of some work stuff going on. So,
Our schedule is going to be a little funky chicken for the second half of March, but we're going to see how many shows that we can get out despite all the insanity. Chris and I have a wedding to go to next week, and I'm very excited. It'll be my first wedding wearing a suit.
Nice.
Awesome.
He's very excited.
So, yes.
All right.
And I even got a tie clip.
I would like your feedback, you listener out there. What old janky game do you love even though everyone else hates it? Please leave that feedback on the comments thread for the show on rpgamer.com or in the Discord or in the YouTube video, wherever else we collect those now. Just to try and put it in front of us, and then we will read it in the show. Just
like anywhere. Yeah. You can send it by pigeon, no worries.
So thank you, Hair Frog, for being our extra special guest. Eric, you are the stream team lead and a big helping hand for the video team. When can people see you streaming?
Normally now. Right now.
Yes.
No, so we have daily streams on our channel. So if you don't know, we stream on twitch.tv/rpgamer. I play at the moment every Sunday, and mostly games that are considered Eurojank RPGs. But we have many more different games. We have new games, old games, crappy games, anything that you like. So do come by. And if you also like video content, don't want to read much, you can also go to our YouTube channel, also RP Gamer, where we post a lot of new videos, reviews. Also, thank you so much for people who do already put comments in there, because I read them all, and sometimes I screenshot them and put them on Discord to other people. That's what I do.
I was hoping you were going to say you print them out, put them on your wall.
I print them out, I put them on my wall, and I every night before I go to bed, I give them all a kiss. And then I go to bed. So thank you for providing me with all that nice wallpaper.
Thank you. Everyone, please tell me what you're going to play this week. Starting with you, Eric.
I'm between games, so I just finished Pokemon Colosseum, so I'm in between games. But next week, we're going to hopefully finish Dark Messiah of Might and Magic. We're going to kick some orcs down the stairs. I can't wait.
And Kelly.
More Pokopia, but more importantly, I've got jury duty next week.
Oh, no.
Womp, womp.
He loses. I'm going to be playing more Project Gorgon, which is no surprise to anybody. And then Andy, what about you?
I'm going to be continuing Octopath Traveler Zero, so I am almost completed the first Arc of Fame, and I want to try to knock out Wealth, if not today, then tomorrow. So cross your fingers for me.
That's it. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Co-answer that question of the week. Stay tuned for next week, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, right here on twitch.tv/RPGamer.
No, except for next week. What? Next week it'll be 11 or 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern, because we have to be early so that we can get ready for the wedding.
Right. Okay. 11 a.m. Eastern. All right. Got it.
Early ghosts.
All right.
Are you going to post that in the channel? I'm going to forget.
We're going to. Thank you. We're going to do that right now.
I put it in the channel already. It should be in a pinned message.
Well, nobody looked at it. Week's show is early.
I will have to make a point not to stay up till the crack of dawn.
EDT, right? Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Sci-fi.